Hey kiddies, Adam Carolla here, and guess who's coming to Detroit? That's right, me, Thursday, January 30th. Motor City Casino Hotels Soundboard. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Come on out and say hi. Ah, yes, GoToMeeting. You want to start the new year off right? You want to be smart this year? Let's not do what we did last year and not use GoToMeeting. Let's use GoToMeeting brought to you by Citrix. You want to get together with clients, coworkers? You want to do it even if you're miles apart? Easy. Save some of that jet fuel. Save the hassle. Save the pat down. Oh, with the weather and the travel and the airports and the snowing in, forget it. GoToMeeting. Improve communication. Cut time and money wasted on business travel, and it's easy. Just sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or mobile device, and you can launch your first meeting in seconds. Share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, and projects in real time. Turn on your webcam. See each other face-to-face. Free. 30 days. That's a 30-day trial. Free. No credit card required. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam for your free 30-day trial. That's GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. Hey, Chickpeas. Ace Man here. Before we get started, I want to thank you for sharing this product with a friend. Honestly, the only reason we're here and the lights are on and we've been going strong for over 4 years now is because of you. And you telling a friend, a loved one, and or a coworker. So thank you so much in advance, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, yes, is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Harland Williams, plus Allison Rosen on news, and Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit from David Wilde. And now, speaking from the pompatus of love, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
Benjamin Brodel wanted on Twitter. How do I know? He used the hashtag top drop.
David Wilde is in studio. Always glad to see him at Wild About Music.
President you, Adam Carolla.
Ah, thank you so much. And thank you guys so much for going on Amazon and pre-ordering the book. You can see it move up and down the charts. It's a fun thing to do.
Yay,
Brian?
Strangely addictive. Strangely addictive. Watch a book go up or down, as it were. But yeah, to watch it move along. David Wilde is probably a lot of experience.
Literally saw Brian's book go from like 294,000th to 3,500.
Yeah.
Like it's an insane amount of movement. That probably represents 2.5 books, but either way, an achievement nonetheless.
Thanks, Mom.
The greatest feeling I ever had was I did this book with the cast of Friends when it ended, and Oprah had them on the next day.
Oh, my God.
And I watched it go from whatever, 65 to 1 and stay there. For hours. That was good.
Yeah. I could only imagine.
That's
all
when
right.
Oprah was Oprah.
Sure. I like when people. By the way, we should all
Who is she now?
We should all get to that part in life. There's two things we should all wish for our children. We should all wish that someone says their name twice. Oh, that's back when Sonny Carolla was Sonny Carolla. Because that means there was a Sonny Carolla. You'd never say that. That's when Jim Carolla was Jim Carolla. There never was a Jim Carolla. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about that.
One day he might be, maybe.
Right. We should all hope for that. We should all hope for the point where they get some sort of award, like an Academy Award, but everyone mutters under their breath, oh, this is a lifetime achievement thing. It's just for his body of work. It's not that one movie he did. It's the hundreds of others that he's done.
That's
over
a makeup call
over
for the
a
five
lifetime.
Snubs.
Right. We should all hope for that, and all hope for the part where he or she wins like student body president or president of frat house or sorority house, and then somebody says with disdain, it's just a popularity contest. We should all hope for those three things for our children.
Can there be a fourth thing? Get what? Me the new Adam Carolla. Get me the new Sonny Carolla.
Yeah.
That means
the
that
next.
Yes,
yeah.
The
We're
next.
Looking for the next. All right. Couple things to get to that I sort of stragglers from the holidays. Mark Gergos, our dear friend who comes on the show all the time, and is exactly – he does not disappoint in his personal life.
He's Mark Garagos on and off the air.
We went to his home. He smoked a huge cigar and drank red wine and showed me his garage.
That's
and
not Mark Garagos.
He had a party. He had a Christmas party. His wife is very sweet, and lots of guys standing around in a big house who do lots of stuff that they kind of understate, but you figure they do a lot of business, whatever they do. And
I'll sign some contracts.
Yeah. Again, the code is I started a business and then I kind of retired when I was 38 and I traveled for a while and then I got bored and then I started another business.
No, just help some friends move some money around.
Yeah. Sold that one. When you hear sold that one, that's the over under on sold that one is $41.2 million on the sold that one. But anyway. We got this cool thing. Mark has a law partner who lives in Pasadena inside the, I don't know, green zone where they stage up all the floats for the Rose Parade. And his wife.
Essentially backstage for the Rose Parade, right?
Right. They stage it up the night before and then they go through starting early in the morning. They have these passes where if you can get your hand on one of these passes, that's gold, because that you throw on the dash of your car and then you can drive, you know, through the guys with the flashlights and the barriers and all that kind of stuff. Because what they do is they essentially close off a part of Pasadena. But obviously, there's residents who live in that part of Pasadena, and thus they have to let those people through. But those people, you know, it ain't a Xerox doily that you stick to your windshield. It's a thing with a color watermark, a watermark on it and all that kind of stuff.
Like a whole permit thing.
Yeah, a whole permit thing. And Mark was just nice enough. His wife was just nice enough to have one or to get one. Some, you know, underground rich railroad guy for looking at things with seeds and husk and
they could end slavery on that underground railroad. But instead, they help white people.
Right.
So see floats.
They gave us one. And we had this thing where, so now what you have to do is you have to present it. You drive into the neighborhood. You do the here I am. And then you pull into this guy's house. And next thing you know, you're drinking wine with rich white guy number two. And he's showing you the old 20s architecture of his home. And you're doing all that and having a good time. But then at a certain point, it's time to go walk and see the floats that are all staged up. And here's where the minimum wage meets my gilded cage. Was told by the super friendly wife with the glass of wine, who, by the way, this is a woman after my own heart. She yelled at her husband, pour him some wine to go. Pour him some wine to go. You know, they need wine to go. Then you want some champagne? You want some red wine to go?
To go, like, home or to go to see the floats?
Go see the floats.
I was going to say.
But home as well. It's not like I was going to fucking run a hose through myself before I got home. It would still be in me. But, yeah, you're going to go walk around for the next hour, have a libation. So here's why I love this chick. She yells at her husband, get him some cups to go. He goes in and grabs those red plastic
Solo cups.
The
ones that scream alcohol.
The beer pong cups.
Right.
The flip cups.
She yells at him, not those cups, idiots. They'll know they're drinking. Get the coffee cups. Get the paper coffee cup. I'll put the lid on
what
it.
What kind we'll of amateur that. Is he?
I don't know. I just thought, like,
she was a tailgater in a former life.
I just love the fact that she yelled at him and demanded they go back into the pantry and get the cups that don't scream, I'm transporting booze on your sidewalk. So there we did. We got our red wine and we said, well, now we don't know where to go because we can't see anything from where we're on a side street. I don't know which direction to head, where the floats are staged up. I don't know the neighborhood. It's dark. It's getting on now. It's probably about 11:30 at night. Kids are getting a little tired. They're not used to staying up this late. We're going to make it till midnight and see the floats and all that. And she says, you go right down the driveway. You hook a right. You just walk 30, 40 feet. First street you see, go left. And that first street will take you right through to the main boulevard where they're all staged up. Now, once you get to the main boulevard, you make a right. You go down that way. They're all down there. Block or two more, you'll see them all staged up. Fine. Get the kids, get the sippy cups, start making our pilgrimage, come to the first street, make a left, get to the $9 an hour cunt who's standing there in the fucking yellow windbreaker. And I don't know why they're all the same. They're all sort of 22, a little bit Hispanic, and hair's kind of fucked up, and they don't really know how to talk to people. And They sound a little like Rosie Perez, and they're like, where are you going? You're not supposed to be here. And then they go, they do this. But now it's just the point where you just, I routinely just lie to people, and so does my wife. She says, you can only go through the barricade if you live on the street. And we both just pause and sort of look at each other, and we go, yeah, we live on the street. And she goes, you can't come through. And we're like, we live on the street. No.
Rosie.
No more pedestrian traffic. And we're just like standing there holding the hands of the kids.
Was she calling your bluff?
I don't know what the fuck she was doing. We've surrounded ourselves with fucking retarded people who get $9 an hour to fuck our shit up royally. So, but because this is the way it always works, we then look at her and go, well, what do you want us to do? Well, you can't come through. It's not, you know, they never, there's two things they don't do. She wasn't mean. She was just like, no, you know, and they never do a, you know, go down to the next one, hang a left, you can probably, it's just like, no. And I think they'd be fine if you just stood there and froze to death, or you and your kids just sat there and defecated on yourself. Like, they don't have a plan B for you other than just shove off. They don't really have anything they'd like you to do just other than to leave. In which case, we got the kids and we walked quarter mile the wrong direction to the very next street where the same sort of flunkies were standing around, except for this time we just walked right past them because that's the other thing. There's zero consistency on the flunkies to do their jobs. And then we walked through and now we're a quarter mile further away than we needed to be. And then we turned right and walked backtrack. And then we went and saw all the stuff. And then when we walked back, we just walked past another street and walked back. It's just totally random sort of, but what the fuck is up with everyone? And I know, stop it with the, oh, she's just doing her job. Who gives a shit? First off, who gives a fuck if you get fired from a job that takes place once a year for $9 an hour? Number one, where you guard husk and seeds. Good morning, team.
Yeah. In the Midwest.
But number two, we've all had those jobs. And the way it used to go is you'd look at the people. They didn't look like the new face of Al-Qaeda. They were a husband and wife team with a couple of young twins. And you just went, yeah. Go ahead. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just walk over there. It's sort of a cop saying, it's a cop, instead of writing you a ticket when you're drinking a beer on the beach, just goes, just dump it out or finish it off and throw it away. It's just a walk. It's just kind of, I'm going to look over here. Just go ahead. You're not doing anything. Obviously, we're not up to anything. Maybe we do live on that street. Pass is in the fucking car. We don't know. Either way, that was just our nice little, just go walk a quarter. Here's the deal. It's basically, it's a metaphor for life, which is, I'll tell you what, person who pays for everything, you and your family just go walk a quarter mile that way, turn right, walk up half mile, and then turn back and walk another quarter mile this way, and then you can stare at my fat ass, you who pay for everything guy.
Well, doesn't it come down to fucked up Rosie Perez? This is her only chance in life to tell you what to do.
And there's that element. I kind of wish and hope that that isn't what it is, because that's an uncomfortable position to be in, not an envious position to be in. You're not supposed to enjoy that.
Right.
But maybe more and more people
who feel downtrodden maybe do.
Oh, fucking kill yourselves, people. Anyway, seeing the Rose Parade is sort of like, for me, it's more about the people that are camping out. You know what I mean? They got the generator going and the inflatable mattress, the burning stuff. That is a real strange lot.
What is it a love of?
I think it's tradition. I think it's like maybe their parents did it when they were kids. I mean, I don't know.
Let me give you a couple things. First off, the inside of your house can't be that much better than the outside in general. Like, if you got a serious thread count going on your down comforter and some wall-to-wall carpeting and a 60-inch flat panel, you tend not to want to go camp on other people's lawns as much. There's a strong when I lived on basically an army cot inside a garage with no heat and no air and one shitty rayon blanket, I was always up for, we're going to go down to Tijuana and just camp on the beach. I was like, that is a lateral move from where I am right now. So I was always up for that. Ever since I got a nice bed and a nice TV and some central air, I've had to really plan my camping trips out very accordingly. You know what I mean? Like, I've become a camping snob. So there's an element of, I don't think these people are going back to Candy Spelling's place on Wilshire.
You don't think they have a separate room for wrapping paper?
In her defense, no. Candy has downsized.
Oh, my God, did I talk to a guy who worked on that place.
The candy spelling place? The gift rooms or gift rooms, I think it was. The gift wrapping rooms.
One of the guys at Garagos's place did big time mill work. Like, if you ever talk to some of those guys and you go, what are you working on? They go, we got a project. We're doing a residential place in China. Oh, really? China? Jesus Christ. That's a little bit out there. It's 55,000 square feet.
Yep.
And you go, yeah. Yeah, we're doing all the AV stuff. And you're like, oh, my God, 55. And we're doing all the mill work, you know, all the fluted this and all the paneling and all the raised paneling and all the wainscoting and all the, you know, yeah, 55,000 square feet. And you're like, first off, at a certain point, doesn't something get too big? You know what I mean? Like,
too big to enjoy?
I'd rather live in 55,000 square feet than 500 in five square feet. But I think I'd rather live in 5,000 square feet than 55,000. Like, right? I needed a fucking golf cart to get to the kitchen, or I never knew where anyone was, or it was just vast, or I'd find gypsies in the entry hall and I wouldn't even know they were there, you know? Like,
vacuuming would be a real bitch.
Yeah, there is some point.
Swiffering, forget it.
I'd say, depending on whether you have kids or not or whatever, maybe it's 6,500 square feet, where once you get past that, you hear about these guys with 22,000 square feet, where it just seems like a pain in the ass. Anyway, the Tory or the candy spelling thing, the guy was doing all the mill work for her. And
at least it's local.
I said, what was it like working for her? And he's giving, didn't ask. But
Seems like she'd be so lovely, though.
He has like a 3,000 square foot closet.
Yeah.
Just that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. Is she, well, not you, Allison, you're miserable, but is she any happier than you, David Wilde?
I don't think she's a happy person. I don't know her. I knew
Aaron, she's happier.
I knew Aaron pretty fairly well.
Right.
He was a great, easygoing guy, but he was that rich guy who just always told you how much he loved his wife, which made
you
think, I'm scared of that wife. Like, why is this guy telling me how great his wife is? You got to watch out for the really rich guy who's seems pussy whipped. So I'm always like, you conquered the world. You own the world.
That's right.
Why do you have such a need to tell the world how great
you have such love of the boat? Why the wife? She the only reason to do the 3,000 square foot closet is to show off your 3,000 square foot closet to people.
Yeah, see the closet.
You know, the move I'd like to do. I'd like to buy like a 3,500 square foot house, but make 3,000 feet of it closet just to show off to everybody. And then everyone would think you were rich because they go, he's got a 3,000 square foot closet. And they go, yeah, no, but he drives a Taurus.
Yeah.
He's got a 3,000 square foot closet. I'd make the whole thing into a closet. It'd be awesome.
A show of wealth.
All right. Let's see. Much to talk about. Harlan Williams is going to be in here. I have a little sad news to report on the eve of something sort of interesting. First, I'll give you some good news. LifeLock, baby. Identity thieves. They're shrewd. They're candy spelling-esque shrewd. They'll target your 3,000 square foot closet and come right after it. Savings accounts, cash, retirement. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Allison? It's like you can't even trust the nurse at your doctor's office. A New York resident has been sentenced to time in jail for his role in a scheme in which scores of identities were stolen from a doctor's office, and the former nurse who worked for the medical group was charged. It's alleged that she used her position to steal a bunch of patient files, and then the whole thing totaled about $675,000 in losses.
Oy and feh, David's people would say at the same time.
The Irish don't say oy and feh.
You want to protect your identity? How about you let the pros handle it? LifeLock Ultimate, the most comprehensive ID theft protection ever created. Guards your identity, credit, even monitors your bank accounts for takeover frauds. Dawson.
LifeLock services can't protect you or your bank accounts if you're not a member. Visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam, or call and use promo code Adam for a special 10% discount. That's promo code Adam to get a special 10% discount. Call 800-496-5030, 800-496-5030, 800-496-5030. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
All right. So interesting and sad at the same time. As you know, Ileana Douglas is doing this deal. It's the second look deal. And it's this Friday. Ah, yes, up on the screen. It's over at CineFamily. And she's asked to show The Hammer. And I thought, oh, that's fun because it hasn't been shown anywhere in at least 7 years. Mm. And
theatrically.
Theatrically.
It's been shown in the wild home often.
Thank you very much. It it does not show up on cable very often, or at least at all.
The Weinstein Company's working hard to sort of change that. Believe me, they're earning their money.
Anyway, it'll be exciting to go out there. I still think we have a couple tickets left, and I'll come out and do a little ditty, and we'll show the movie in the theater. It's always more enjoyable in the theater. And then I found out that Tom Quinn, who plays the coach in the movie, passed away. Oh. I think it was Sunday or – yes.
He was the trainer?
No, I'm sorry. It's on your thing. It's the 5th.
Oh, sorry. He passed away January 5th.
He was the trainer?
Yes. He was Coach Bell. He passed away on the 5th, and he made it to, well, coming up on 80. 79, I think, is what he made it to. Good guy. Had an interesting, I think, Kevin Hench, who I wrote the movie with, just sort of knew of him. I'm trying to think of, I'm looking at his IMDb, and he did a lot of interesting stuff. He was really good, and the thing that was good about him is he used to be a boxing trainer. So I remember shooting the movie with him. You'd come to the corner, and he'd reach into your mouth and grab your mouth guard out of your mouth with his bare hand and just wipe you down. There was a scene where I was talking to him, and I spit in his face. And it wasn't in the script where I was supposed to spit in his face. I just had my mouth guard in. I just got done throwing up, so I was like, oh, I'm all right, and it just spit got in his face. And without, like, I don't know, a lot of actors would have kind of went like, hey, whoa, or what's up? He just casually took his hand, he blotted his own face with it, and then handed it back to me. But he would grab your mouthpiece, wipe you down. Like, he didn't mind the sweat and the germs and all that kind of stuff. By the way, nobody's exposed to more sweat, blood, and germs than boxing trainers. And I guarantee they never get the sniffles, and they never die in their 40s either. They always make it until at least 79, like Tom. And I think it's all the exposure to all that stuff that kind of makes their immune system better.
Anyway, also, prostitutes tend to live to 80 or 90.
That's good, unless I start stacking them like cords of wood in the trunk of my Nova. Either way, Tom passed away. Tom was a delight to work with, really easy guy, and I thought did a great job in the script. I always believed him as Coach Eddie Bell. I liked that he played it just right. He wasn't a bad guy. He just wanted to win and thought this would be the best way to win.
Complicated character. He played him well. The twist that happens with his character maybe two-thirds of the way through, you don't really see it coming, and when it comes, it feels very justified for his character. It's like, all right, well, that wasn't out of nowhere. That was just what his character did.
Yeah, he played it. He wasn't being evil for the sake of being evil. He had sort of an agenda, but he played it well. And I thought it'd be fun just to play a little scene of the great Tom Quinn from The Hammer that you guys could remember him by.
Who here knows how many gold medals the United States boxing team has won in the last two Olympics combined? One. That's right. Uno. Cuba has won 9. Kazakhstan has won 3. I don't even know where that is. France has won as many gold medals as the United States in the last two Olympics. France, for Christ's sake. Today we're going to find out if anyone here might have what it takes to change that in 2008. Let's get started.
Yeah, Tom Quinn. Good guy.
Forgot about that scene.
Good guy, good storyteller, just a fun old
totally
guy.
Believable. It seems like he is that guy.
I kind of the easiest way, whether you want a boxing coach, a drill instructor, a boxer, or what have you, to get that guy is go get that guy. We make acting to be a lot more complicated than it is. Not that hard for boxers to act like boxers, and not that hard for boxing coaches or former boxing coaches who've turned to acting to act that way. And he was a very good example of that. So he will be missed, a great Tom Quinn. All right. And remind me, or somebody can remind me when they come out on Friday night to ask me or Hench how we ran down Tom Quinn. It's an interesting story. I think Hench knew his son.
Were you guys aware of him, or is it like you got to get a Tom? You got to get Tom Quinn. I mean, he's a character actor. That's why I ask.
Hench is the kind of guy who would see an episode of CSI.
Oh, he was in The Wire too.
From The Wire, like 5 years ago, and this go because he has a brain like a steel fucking trap, and go, there's a guy who was in The Wire 5 years ago would be perfect for this, and he'll always be perfect for it, and he'll remember the guy's name. Even if it wasn't said in the episode, he will have seen it on the credits and will have memorized it, which is totally insane. All right. Let's see. Us, Chicago, Park West, fun venue, and we're going to do some live shows. That's January 31st. Buffalo, Main Stage Theater, that is Saturday the 1st, so same weekend. And then coming down the road, Las Vegas, Treasure Island, Joe Coy, everybody. And me, Detroit Motor City Casino, Thursday, January 30th. So you get us on the road, and you go to the website and check that out if you want to find out the dates when we're coming to a town near you.
I've never been to Chicago, so I'm especially excited.
Oh.
Yeah, it'd be my first time, and I think it might be freezing.
You may end up spending a few days there.
Yeah,
it's the greatest town, and that's a great venue. So that
Park West is a good. It's like a rock and roll venue. I've played it there many times, and it's always a good time. All right. I had a weird morning this morning. I got up late ish. This morning, my schedule's I go to bed about midnight, and I get up about 8 a.m. That's my thing. And if I don't have anything to do early, I just let myself go because I'll be working this weekend and I'll be setting I set my alarm enough. If I don't have to set my alarm, I had to come in here and we did some podcasting today. But once in a while, I'll wake up at 9:20 and kind of go like, whoa. Where'd that come from? I'll wake up on my own at 8 or 8:10. But this morning was a 9:20 wake up. And I got to my cell phone and had a bunch of messages waiting for me on it. Tonight Show, tonight. They need you on the Tonight Show, tonight. And then I had an email from Ross over the Tonight Show at like 6:35 a.m. And I sort of did that move where I'm like, all right, so far no one's heard from me. Now I can go in. That's going to involve shaving and shuffling some things around and moving some things. But I want to do it. I mean, I like the Tonight Show. And they're going off the air. I mean, the Jay Leno part's going off
and
the air.
You should do it.
I should. Jay's been very, very kind to me over the years and did my Paul Newman racing doc and all that kind of stuff. And I sort of was going, And then they said, Mark Wahlberg's doing it. And I like Mark Wahlberg, and I've hung out with him a little bit. And I thought, oh, that'll be good. I'll go over there, and I'll chum it up with Mark.
Lone Survivor.
Yeah, maybe Pete Berg will be around or something. I'm friendly with him, and I'll get him to come on the podcast or what have you. And I had a funny conversation with my buddy Ray about it because they said, I said, well, they call if somebody drops out or something like that. And he said, oh, pinch hitter. And I said, no, this is sloppy seconds. Aww. This isn't them going to the bench and getting Manny Mota to hit for the pitcher. This is a guy who can hit, has decided not to hit or turn his ankle, and they're going to the bench.
Yeah, you're on the practice squad.
Yeah, bullpen catcher.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't flatter myself.
Man.
They don't want me to be on the show. They wanted the person. They wanted to be on the show, but they couldn't get that person, or that person dropped out. Now,
not to shitting on yourself point, but they go to someone they know who can bring it, though.
Yes,
so
they do the who can bring it in, you know, the show's 11 hours from now. Who's going to do it without a bunch of prep, who Jay's comfortable with? There's probably a shortish list of people they know they can get to come there and have a good rapport.
P. Isadora said no, and you were the next call.
It's P. Isadora. But yes.
It's an old
yes.
issue.
So I sat there and I went, Mark Wahlberg. All right, let's do it. So I said, I'm in. And then I went and did a couple of podcasts.
Did you say it to yourself or did you say it to someone at the Tonight Show?
I said it to the heavens. No, I answered back, yes, I'm in. And that was about 10 a.m. And then I did a couple of podcasts. I walked down and checked my phone at noon. And I said, we're good. So
at least you didn't shave.
Now we can – I know. Now, here's the funny thing.
David Schwimmer changed his mind.
I was doing an interview. Well, it'll be interesting to see.
Who's on?
We know Wahlberg's on. It was funny, and this guy's going to think I'm a total dick, but I was doing a radio interview. So now I found this out in the morning, and now my head's kind of going to, all right, I got to come here and do some podcasting. Then should I bring a suit? Should I shave now? Am I going to go straight there? I got to do a pre-interview. It's not till 4 o'clock, and then what? I was doing an interview with a guy, I think Chicago, and at a certain point, I said to him, hey, listen, I just found out I was doing the Tonight Show tonight. And he's like, whoa, that's, you know, from a guy in Chicago. I said, that's cool. I said, yeah, they, you know, last minute, somebody dropped out. They're bringing me on. Well, there you go. I said, but unfortunately, I got to cut it off here because I got to go do the Tonight Show tonight. And he's like, well, that's a lot better than doing my little radio show. I'll tell you that right now. Now, he's going to watch the Tonight Show tonight and see Schwimmer on there.
What the?
Yeah.
What a good excuse, though, if you never have to talk to the person again.
It's one that's easily checked on, though. It's the problem of saying I'm going to be on the Tonight Show tonight. It's much easier to say, oh, my mom just slipped in the kitchen, which is harder to verify.
Yeah.
My friend's mom said the best excuse to get out of any social anything is diarrhea. It's one you don't go to often.
I was going to say, if I were a woman, I would never stop with the feminine stuff. Yes.
I feel like naturally that's how I am.
I find
right.
what you went through.
That's what I'm saying.
What you went through today, I experienced things like that. And I find them, they take you from zero. They actually depress you afterwards. Like I've gotten someone call me, some other like actor, and say, Leonardo DiCaprio is going to call you to write a speech for him.
Right.
And then they don't call.
Right.
And then you feel like a loss.
Yeah.
And it just was... It never happened.
Well, you go from, I don't know if I'm up for writing a speech for Leonardo to what? He doesn't want me to write a speech? I went from, the Tonight Show, I got to shave, got to lose 8 pounds in the next 4 hours.
You went from put out to
I got to put my suit to who they get? Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard they got some radio DJ from Chicago.
I feel like we could figure that one out pretty quick, right? Because the show's already taped. So we could definitely get to the bottom
of
that
one. The worst for me is when someone's like, would you be interested in this, da-da-da, and then you kind of waver a little bit, but ultimately you – well, actually, that's what you did, Adam. Then ultimately you say yes, and then it goes away. And then I always wonder, was it because I wasn't enthusiastic enough?
This couldn't have been that. I got the call, or at least they knew it, at 6:30 a.m. So between 6:30 and 9:45, 10 o'clock. That was crunch time.
Catherine Hahn, character actress who's in like We Are the Millers and a lot of
Anchorman 2.
Yeah, Anchorman 2.
Well, she was in Anchorman 1. I can only assume she's in Anchorman 2.
Oh, yeah, right. She's in Anchorman 2.
In her defense, she is very, very funny. And she's in a top one or two movie.
Okay.
No wonder they went with her.
They will usually do they'll do guy dude rather than dude. If they have they'll mix it up. Like,
guy gal?
I'll give you an example. You never see like Eddie Murphy and Tracy on the same show. Like, they won't do two black dudes or black dude, black guy, black chick. Like, if you think about it, it's weird, but that's kind of how they work. Like, mm-hmm. They'll mix it up mostly.
Yeah, you and Wahlberg, it would be two guys known for having big penises.
Right.
It wouldn't
what
be.
What do we need? Yeah, and by the way, could we both fit in the same hall at the same time? Anyway, so that's who they got. But the crunch time between 6:30 in the morning when they knew it and 10 a.m. when I they're frantically that entire time going over people. And then what they'll do is they'll say no to, I don't know. They probably said no to 10 people. I have no idea. I could find out. And I will one day. Either way, I'm delighted that my son came home today and said that he was asked to write a report on somebody famous. And he said to his teacher, well, my dad's famous. Can I write a report on my dad?
He knows Uncle Jimmy.
Well, he said, my dad and or Uncle Jimmy. And she said, yes, go ahead. And he said, okay, I want to write one on my dad. Oh, I just had two thoughts. One thought, So I said,
is that painful?
Don't, yeah. I said, don't. Normally, there's not enough room. I said, ooh, one just came out. Silent but deadly thought. I said, well, don't ride it on me. Ride it on Uncle Jimmy. That seems dumb to ride it on me. You can go, I'll bring you to his office. You can, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then I sort of, now the thought that just jumped in my head is, I'd like to see what that guy's going to write. But it would be a fun thing to look at down the road, writing a report on Daddy. What would your guys, if you were seven, what do you think your report on your daddy would be?
I don't
think,
on a famous person or my dad?
I'm going with Daddy. That's why I said Daddy.
I don't know. I probably would have chosen a baseball player if it was someone famous. But my dad, it would have just been my dad was born in and would have just, you know, gone from there. 7 years old, it wouldn't have been too. It would have been a lot of depth. It would have, my dad was born in. He was, you know, the fifth child of whatever.
What did you think of him? I mean, did you think of him as a big guy or strong guy? I mean, obviously, you're going to, it's your dad.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess so.
What would you have said? Would you guys?
I wrote something about my dad. I remember when I was, I think around that age, which was, I remember saying, my dad is tall. He was, I think, 5'7", tops.
Wow.
5'6", maybe. And I said, he looks like Jim Fergusi, who was a baseball player.
Sure.
And there was a baseball card that he looked like my dad. I remember saying that. And I think I wrote heroic things because he was a great guy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Allison?
Yeah, I think it would have been – I'm trying to remember what I thought of my dad at seven. You know, I didn't
think he was Jewish at seven.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
My dad is a Quaker doctor.
Brian, it would have had biographical stuff. And then, you know, I would have said he's nice and he's funny. And he, like, you know, I would have mentioned his hobbies.
Was he as dapper lying to his kids about their faith? Back then?
No, I don't think I don't think he was, but I also don't think I had a sense of dapper. Like, I didn't even have a sense of who my parents looked like or what they looked like. I don't know if you guys can relate to this. I would have these moments where I would be like, that person right there is my mom. Like, that's weird. It's someone I'm so familiar with, but she also exists in the world at large.
I didn't have that, but keep in mind I had Ray to come over and say stuff like, why does your mom shave her armpits? It's weird. Why is your mom so fat? It's weird. You guys should mow the lawn every once in a while. You know, your house looks like a barn.
I remember when I was seven, I thought my parents were really old. And thinking back now, when I was seven, they were 28 and 31.
Wow.
So it's just your perspective. You know, you think your dad's tall. He's 5'7".
I told my mom she sang like Joni Mitchell when I was seven, and she still quotes it back to me.
Let's take a...
By the way, Adam, I just heard from Sonny. He's actually writing about Catherine Hahn.
Oh.
And he wants a quote for the piece.
Oh, God damn it. Scooped again. LegalZoom, baby. Let's get your life organized this year. How about starting a business? How about both? How about you get organized and you start a business? How about you use LegalZoom? Guys, you can use a last will and testament, living trust, protect your assets, give your family peace of mind. Starting a business, they can help you launch your dreams, save a ton of money, ton of time. They've helped start over 1 million businesses. 9 out of 10 customers recommend their personalized, affordable protection. They get themselves an A+ from the Better Business Bureau. LegalZoom, baby. Dawson?
LegalZoom is not a law firm, but can connect you with a third-party attorney and provide you with self-help services. For special savings, enter Adam in the referral box at checkout. Please don't let another month go by before you take care of these things for your family and business. From wills to business formation, trademark applications, powers of attorney, and even bankruptcy help, go to LegalZoom.com.
All right. I thought this would be fun. I don't know why, but I took my kids, like I said, I started juicing. That was my New Year's.
Yeah.
Is to appreciate things and to juice. But shortly after my first, popped the hymen on my juicer, I decided it was time to go to Carney's for a chili dog with my kids.
Which weird. You did not juice.
Did not. So I was doing this move. First thing we do is we go to the hot dog train, as they call it, where they have the hot dogs and the hamburgers in the train. And then we take it to the nearby park, which is the same park that I used to play Pop Warner football at.
Beeman
Park, yes. I started when I was Sonny's age at seven. I played for the East Valley Trojans there for about 5 years, and I ended up with the Sun Valley Falcons, and then it was high school time after that.
You bounced around your contact.
I bounced around
a little
the league.
Too big to, you know, take on for some teams. Try to stay under the salary cap.
Yeah. So I had a weird little sad little revelation as I was walking through Beeman Park, which is not in a bad neighborhood at all, but it was my old park, sort of weird passing by the first bathroom where they gave us our uniforms at age 7 and told us to go get dressed, and I was coming out with my girdle on backwards, my cup over my head and stuff. Football uniform, complicated for a 7-year-old. But
and not obvious either. You look at a lot of things, you're like, where does that pad go?
I had
shaped like a puzzle piece.
I had a great, I don't know, one of those moments that seems funnier than it was but sticks out in your mind. Walked into the bathroom at Beeman Park probably when I was about 9. Again, sort of East Valley Trojan getting dressed or something. Opened the door and some guy was on the pot and just destroyed it. And I walked, something that struck me so incredibly funny when I was 9. Walked in the door with probably one of my buddies, opened the door and did that, oh my God, like the guy was sitting on the pot, you know. And as kids, you know, you don't go like politely hold your nose and walk back. We're like, woo, oh my God, it's so bad, you know. And the kid was, the other kid was like, oh, it's so bad. And all after a few beats of it, it's horrible, oh my God, the humanity, the smell. After a couple of beats and a pause from the commode, from the stall, came just the voice of what sounded like a weary trucker just go, you don't have to broadcast it. I remember just thinking that was hysterical when I was 9. The thing that I thought was
little did he know you would be a broadcaster.
Little did he know. The thing I found that was sort of sad is when I was there back as a little kid, there was no Pepsi machine. And then at a certain point, there was a Pepsi machine, and as I was leaving, I noticed there was a Pepsi machine in a steel cage. And I thought, this is not a good way to go. Like, when you start taking things, when you can no longer leave things in sort of common places, you know, because they'll be destroyed, vandalized, broke into, you know, it's sort of, when you're starting to put the alarms on the on the shavers and the cartridges and the deodorant, it's not a good for me. Like the great Gavin Newsom, I like to work small to big. I look at the little indicators of life, the barbed wire around the freeway signs, the alarm that goes
it's
off when you get your
you
deodorant
get in the hotel when the remote control is like wired to something.
Or yeah, maybe this isn't
is
a great.
Connected by a chain. No maybe, one trusts you.
Right? Maybe this isn't a great neighborhood, great hotel. It's the equivalent to the super bad shopping market that has the piece of electrical conduit that has been duct taped onto the shopping cart so you can't get it out the front door, because if you do get it out the front door, it's going to end up in the wash. Not a good sign. But the idea that vending machines are in cages now because they cannot be left alone because somebody will come up and either defile them or put their boot through them is a sad testimonial.
It is we who are in the cages.
Ooh, the gilded one. Wow. Powerful.
Wow. All right. Or when said public bathroom decides to go from mirrors to that kind of reflective metal.
And even the reflective metal gets all scratched up.
Oh, yeah. Forget it. It's going to get scratched up either way, but when it goes, you can't quite, maybe it's a better thing. We can't quite make out what's in the reflection.
I thought, you know how I talk all the time of how we're caught in this sort of in-between, like I talk about.
The moon in New York City?
Uh-huh. Chris. Cross?
Christopher Cross.
Christopher
yes.
Cross, yeah. Well, I call him Chris. When I say like CGI, it still looks kind of drawn in, like you see a lot of these space movies.
Or plastic
a little phony,
surgery, we're in between.
Plastic surgery. Now, you know, 20 years ago, it didn't really exist. 20 years from now, it will be perfected, but we're sort of caught. The voice activated stuff. I tried to call 411 because I tried to call Carney's and like order the stuff on the way in, and I thought I'd just try it out because I realized I get no this whole promise of simply speak in your phone and tell them meets with nothing. It eventually
Yukon 412, put me through the Carney's, please.
It meets with 5 minutes later I get an operator on the phone.
Agent.
I could have gotten it anyway. All right. So
you're supposed to say Asian.
I'm going to try this and see what happens. Let's see if this works.
You're calling 401 right now?
Yes. I'm going to see if it works.
AT&T 411 info. Say your city and state, like Dallas, Texas, or you can say other services.
Studio City, California.
Say just the business name, or for a residential listing, say the word residence.
Carney's.
Carney's Restaurant. Is that right?
No.
My mistake. Say just the name of the business, or say the type of business.
Carney's Hot Dogs.
Barney's Gourmet Hamburger. Is that right?
I don't know. I don't think they're gourmet. Yes.
All right. Please hold for an operator.
Oh, so now I have to. Yeah. Right.
I thought Carney's Restaurant was right. Is that
not
maybe
right? Maybe that was. Now you got to check because I tried it in the thing and they had another Carney's restaurant. We can see if it's Carney's Hot Dogs and Hamburgers. When I was trying to do it on my ride over, it was Barney's and then it was something else. And then it was, I don't know, the Gourmet Hamburgers, maybe, but this place is Hot Dogs.
I think it's Gourmet Hamburgers. I do think that that's right. Even though everyone knows it is a hot dog place, I think that might be right.
Oh, so the first Carney's restaurant is not right.
I think they're both right. I bet you those are both right.
Oh, all right.
They might be listed under two things. I think those would both be right.
All right. They're both right. And it turns out I'm wrong. And it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. I knew it would work in studio. It didn't work in my car and it didn't work out there.
So you don't talk to a Siri?
I was wondering if Siri could handle
it. I don't know Siri. Now I'm freaked out with that movie.
Have you seen her? Ooh, it's great.
I hear it's good, and I don't want to get into a relationship like that. That kind of relationship. Hey, Peter.
Here.
Yeah, what's going on? I don't have Siri on my phone, by the way. I have an old phone. Peter.
Yeah. Hello.
32 Fresno.
Hello.
Fresno.
Hello.
Siri.
Hello?
Carney's?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Hey, fucking long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, buddy. Fucking big-time talker.
Yeah, hey, I just had a question. What are the chances of you coming back to radio?
I don't know. No one's ever approached me about coming back to radio. Once, although I stopped having these conversations with those ass wipes over at Sirius and XM, but every once, they used to once a year want to have a serious conversation to judge my interest in being on Sirius and Sirius XM. They wanted to gauge my interest. And I would always say, what's the pay? And they'd say, oh, we don't have any money, but we just want to gauge your interest. And I would say, what if I just open the phone book and just want to talk to roofers? I want to gauge your interest on redoing my roof. And they'd go, well, how much are we talking about a square? No. Let's not get mired in money here.
How much do you want to come?
I just want to gauge your interest.
God,
anyway, I should fucking sue Sirius and SiriusXM for wasting half of my adult life having retarded conversations about nothing. But other than those cheap dicks, I've not had a conversation with anybody about doing radio.
Well, ironically, do you think they do that every time they think, well, Howard Stern might leave and history could repeat itself?
Maybe they do. I have no idea. I've had conversations with them since the beginning. They never seem to have any money and they always want to gauge my interest. And they always do the thing where at Sirius and Sirius XM where they go, well, how about the freedom of saying whatever you want? And I would say to them this, fuck off. How about that? Wait a minute.
See?
Yeah.
Feels good. You're right. I'd rather just have my own pirate ship.
As a writer, when I was getting paid as a writer already, I would get people who wanted to see if I wanted to write. Well, you probably know this, David Wilde. Wanted to write something for free, but you can write whatever you want. It's like, that's not a problem I'm having currently.
Yeah, everyone in prison can write whatever they want for free. Right. So if somebody would like to make me an offer, I'm all ears. I would probably say no, but I'm all ears. But it hasn't really come about in a good 3 years, and we got the pirate ship, and you guys are doing a great job with it, so we don't need it, and that's the beauty of us. Peter?
I had one more question, too. You remember when you were doing a radio show, you had a guest on Prisoner David?
Yes.
He was locked up in prison?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have you ever heard, Have you ever heard anything from him?
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Yeah. Prisoner David used to call in. He was as good as many of the comedians we would have on
better,
the show.
Better than some.
Better than some. But to be
prepared.
Be prepared. Yeah, he would have all week to prepare and prepare.
He had a captive audience.
And he had a captive audience. Yeah. He would come in and do care. He would call in and do characters. But
Allison, you know who we're talking about? He was an actual inmate at San Quentin, right? We never quite determined, but he's an inmate.
Yeah.
Were you laughing with him or at him?
No, he had a great sense of humor. He would call in once a week.
He killed. That guy killed, which is why he was
there.
They would have this recording. Don't play it yet. But it'd be like, you got to wonder if Jimmy Stewart ever met Daffy Duck. I bet it would sound a little.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
His timing would get thrown off just a little bit because that would come on all the time. And that's how you knew. I guess it's for. Here's what it is. I think there's a lot of this going on. And Brian, you be prepared. I think the reason they started this is because there used to be a lot of. Allison, you be housewife. You be stay-at-home mom.
Am I attractive? Hello.
Hi, my name is Ted. I'm calling from a Visa.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been a problem with your account.
Oh no!
It looks like it's been hacked into.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional
facility.
Go ahead
and ignore that. I'm going to need your access number, date of birth, and mother's maiden name, please.
I'm sorry. Who is this?
My name is Ted. I'm with Visa, the credit card company.
Uh-huh.
There's been some suspicious.
You heard
this
that, right?
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Never mind
there's
that.
There's something I'm hearing that's saying this is.
There should be an 11-digit PIN number that's on the bottom of your card. Also, the back of your card has a date on it that I'm going to need from you, as well as your mother's maiden name. If that's
this
okay.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional.
If you could just go ahead and get that credit card out, that would be awesome.
Where are you calling from? Because I'm hearing a recording that's saying this is from a correctional facility, which I think is a jail.
We're based in Encino. I work.
This recorded call is from an inmate.
If you could just get the credit card and go ahead and give me those numbers, we could take care of this suspicious activity post haste.
Okay, I'll get the card, but.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you have? If you're really from Visa, don't you have this information?
Do you have
from an
pictures of yourself wearing
facility.
Like something you would sleep in?
I mean,
like a nightgown or something. Something
sure.
Sheer. Like,
yeah, but got when a it's matching robe and nightgown set.
Well, like no, when it's warm, you know.
I just take the robe off, and then I just have a long sleeve nightgown.
You don't have anything that's, you know,
with
like lacy, for warmer
but
nights.
It's also with flannel.
Uh huh. Flannel,
it's flannel, and then it has lace around.
Uh-huh. Correctional facility.
Well, if you could get the credit card out and just take a picture of the credit card and yourself in your underpants and go ahead and send it. It's not going to be Encino.
Where should I send it?
I'm out. All right.
We're in Folsom.
I think that's why they started putting that in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would have been a good Crank Yankers bit, by the way, just to see. You know, just to see how people responded to him.
I wonder if anyone's heard from Prisoner David, like, you know, Lynch or anybody, or if he's still around. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
He was serving a long sentence.
You never made a conjugal visit to visit?
Yeah, no. He was in. Boy, he was in. He was in for quite some time. Dr. Drew's sense of humor. One more phone call, and then we will bring in Harlan Williams. Hey, Matthias?
Matthias.
Oh, Matthias.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I watched Omega Man. And Omega Man, the guy's name was Matthias. Because he'd go, your eyes, Matthias. So is Matthias and Matthias the same name? And we're pronouncing them differently? Are we in an Andrea and an Andrea situation?
It's Andrea.
I don't know. It's Greek. My mom decided to fuck my life up with that. So.
All right.
Okay, so I was listening to it.
Maybe the last one. Let me see if I can try. Hold on a second. Matias Mahana. Hold on a second.
I'm still.
There you go. Real quick, we got to bring Harlan Williams in.
Okay, so listening to the old Love Lines, like just listening to Drew, he doesn't really seem like from then to now. Like he laughs at all your shit now, but like back in the day, he kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know, kind of just was like a dud. When did that all change? Like, I'm listening to like 1990.
All right, Dr. Drew.
Whatever.
Understand radio and the idiots from TV and from radio, but mainly from TV. They would just go, I'm sure they would pull him aside and coach him up all the time. We go, like, you're the serious doctor one. Adam is, because all they understand is format. So he's the kooky, funny, whatever one. And then you're the super serious one. So don't smile, don't laugh at his jokes, and like, be real, whatever. And if Adam starts doing this, you can't go, because we can't, because all we know is this stupid, fucked up format. We don't understand just nuance and chemistry and things like that. So I think he would get kind of pressured, like, you be the straight guy all the time. So if I said something funny, he'd have to just kind of fold his arms. Now he realizes, oh, fuck them. They never knew anything. I would tell him all the time. They don't fucking know anything. But now he's realized, oh, fuck it. They don't know anything. And he's loosened up. And that's how you get iTunes New Show of the Year, by the way.
His sense of humor has really evolved. I remember back before I ever knew you guys, when you were on MTV, there was you used to have a Drew joke board. Remember, Drew would make a joke. And it's such a rare occurrence. Like, put it on the joke board.
Right. Yeah, dime for
scale. I did a comedy film with all these great comedians. And we had him do a little bit. And the director called me and said, Drew was the funniest one. You know, we had lots of Emmy winners.
Let's not go that far. Squarespace, baby. All in one platform. Makes a fast, easy way to create your own pro website. Beautiful designs, styles, and options. You can create a unique website for your business or what have you. Easy to use. You can get some help, 24-hour support, 7 days a week. Starts at just $8 a month, includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Get your free trial. No credit card required. Start building your website today. You need a website. It's 2014. Use the offer code Corolla1. That's Corolla, number one, for 10% off your first purchase. And show your support for the show. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. All right. Where do you want people to go? I didn't get a page on you. What are you plugging, David Wilde?
I guess I'm working right now on the Grammys, which is January 26th on CBS. And then the next night, we're doing the Grammy tribute to the Beatles, which will air February 5th, I believe it is. Which is
LL Cool J?
I'm not saying who's...
By law.
Legally, he will be there, yes.
Yes, he will be.
Our great host for the Grammys. And,
right.
But those shows coming up, I look forward to everyone seeing
them. Wild About Music is where you go if you have a computer. And the great Harlan Williams will be in next.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I have returned from England, and I'll tell you all about it, to start a great new year. We'll see you here at LarryMillerPodcast.com.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Go ahead, make it my day.
If you said Dirty Harry,
go ahead, make my day.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Harlan Williams, great friend, humanitarian comedian Harlan Williams in studio.
Thanks.
Movie Back in the Day, available now on video, on demand, in theaters January 17th. Podcast, The Harlan Highway. New episodes every Monday and Thursday on iTunes. And coming up, Irvine Improv and Atlanta Improv as well.
Yeah, Irvine Improv this weekend, and then Atlanta Improv...
23rd through the 25th.
Yeah.
Atlanta, I seem to recall playing a very small place in Atlanta that was a club that was like kind of off the beaten path and kind of shaped like a Der Wiener Schnitzel or something. Had that raked roof.
And had a drive-thru?
I just tell jokes to people that came through the
they
speaker.
They drove through, yeah.
Trying to think of what that club was.
Was it out in Roswell?
Probably out.
Out in the suburbs?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I was there years ago, yeah.
I remember, all I remember was me saying to the club owner, it's the Atlanta Tabernacle. Yes, yes. Very woodsy, earthy place. And, good way to go, Gary. And,
That was the name of it? Here's the Tabernacle?
What I remember is it was right in the middle of Jim Brewer saying he wanted to kill me.
What?
And it's a long story.
Harlan's Half-Baked co-star.
Yeah, talking about how much he hated me and how much he wanted to kill me. And I remember saying to the club owner, who's coming in next? And he said, Jim Brewer. And I said, oh, well. And whatever the math was, I remember thinking, oh, well, he's coming in tomorrow. I'm leaving tomorrow. And he said, no, he's coming in a day early to press. And it's like smash cut to me and Jim Brewer standing in the office together. And
I thought,
this is awesome.
Did he apologize? Because you used to be a boxer.
Pissed.
You're a boxer. You don't mess with Corolla.
But people look at me as a puss.
Yeah, but that's where you get them. Because they think you're a puss. You look like a puss.
I do.
But then, wham, you pull out your golden gloves.
That's right.
And Jim Brewer's laying on the floor.
Puss
halfway
right in the puss,
to, yeah. Busted in the pussy wussy.
No, he was friendly about it.
Of course he's friendly about it when you're right there. That's what everyone does.
I deserved a certain amount of blame. I used him as an instrument to make fun of David Alan Greer.
Oh, that's an odd instrument. Why didn't you just use a trombone or something? What's that all about?
David Alan Greer was ranked like number 97 on Comedy Central's 100 funniest.
Yeah.
And Jim Brewer was like 89.
He was like 100 best stand-up comics ever.
Oh, I got you.
And I was making fun of him that Jim Brewer was ranked above him.
Right.
And wasn't funny. That was the problem that Jim took offense to. I wasn't trying to make fun of Jim Brewer. I was trying to make fun of David Alan Greer, but I was using Jim Brewer as a yardstick to measure unfunny. And that's the offense he took. And so rightfully so. Even though
you
got to
watch
personal.
Your back from Jim Brewer and David Alan Greer.
Dag's cool. Dag understood.
Yeah.
He understood.
Were you goofing on them or were you really like horning them? Like these
guys
suck.
He was goofing on Dag saying Jim's not funny.
Right.
Okay.
That was
so
the
you're
problem.
You're giving Dag like I really like you, so I'm goofing on you. But you're giving the Brewer you really blow. That type of thing.
In order to make my goofing on Dag more effective. You see what I'm saying?
So when you came face to face with Brewer,
damage, and also Adam didn't think he was funny.
Wow! Right. So when you came face to face with Brewer, what was the tone like? Because was Brewer out there threatening you and stuff?
Yes.
So when he came face to face, was he like, "Oh, hey, man, I love your show," or was he like, "Let's step out in the hallway, guy"?
Nobody, most people don't want to step out in the hall.
No, golden gloves. I would.
Yes, I found that, but. But so the tone does usually change. But he was nice, and I was nice, and I recognized. I mean, I told him, look, you know, I understand what I said. While it wasn't meant to, you know, hurt your feelings, I can understand how it would.
But why was he nice? Was he backpedaling? Was he afraid of you?
I think first off, I don't know what lurks in the hearts of comedians, especially the ones that do Joe Pesci. I said, Hey, Jim, I understand you've been talking some shit, and I know what it's about, and I'm apologizing for using you as a negative comedic yardstick.
Yeah.
You know? And I've heard him be funny, by the way, since then. I've heard him on Stern be funny many times, so I have
to
rearrange my position.
You worked it all out.
Now
we did work it
use?
Out, yeah.
Oh, look at you. You're like the Mother Teresa of comedy over there, guy. You should wear like a white veil and a burqa.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a burqa?
I don't know what a burqa is, but that's because I enjoy the USA and country music.
Burqa's that little thing where the women wear the thing and all you can see is their eyes. You look good in one of those.
Let me say something about the
burqa. I'd love you in a burqa. A plaid one.
First off,
a plaid burqa.
All we ever do is talk about sunscreen and wearing big brim hats and stuff like that. I feel like those women, when that burqa comes off, they could be 75 and look like they were 19.
Yeah.
Number one.
Oh, yeah, no sun damage.
All you need is eye cream to look good for the
rest
of your life.
And number two.
Certain freedom in that.
I bet they don't get bit by a lot of mosquitoes. And number three, You know, at a certain point, you know, I got a few of my mom's friends. I wouldn't mind it if they rocked the burka.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
rock
I mean?
Rock the burka, like rock the vote. Yeah.
And it would save a lot. You know what? Let me say this.
Okay, say it.
Women spend an unfortunate amount of time mussing with their hair and or makeup.
Just burka it.
Just burka it.
Burka it up.
I mean,
Delta burka.
There would be times, Allison, when you wouldn't mind
hell
just going,
yeah.
fuck it, I'll just put a burka on and I'll leave the house. I don't have to get gussied up to
That's
go to the
right.
fucking mall.
You know what I would
the time
do?
And if, material if, and money.
If I was a girl and I had to wear a burka, I would get cosmetic surgery and I'd either get squid eyes put in or owl eyes. So all you could see, squids have the biggest eyes in the world. The giant squid technically has the biggest eye of any living creature.
Really?
So I would get two giant squid eyes and a burka.
Well, hold on
Imagine
a second.
Looking at me over your coffee at Starbucks in the morning.
Is it,
good morning.
How big is
squid
the,
eyes?
How big is the biggest
And then
squid
I squirt
eye?
Ink in your face when you try to come on to me.
If you did the owl one, what would that sound like?
Although we've got that cold snap. You want to hear, the, you know, the snowy owl, that white one?
Mm-hmm.
This is my impression of the snowy owl. Ready?
Yeah.
Fuck, it's cold.
I knew it was coming. It's still
fine. Oh, you son of a... Now, let's get back to the burka with the squid eyes.
Hold
now,
on.
What kind of eyes would you have in your burka?
We got a... I would do the crazy ones that just spun around and sort of flopped around like
the like the Twilight Zone logo where that spiral?
Yes. I can hypnotize people.
Okay.
We got a holiday card from Prisoner David 2 months ago, including a picture of him and his new fiance.
Oh, fuck.
Name is...
Ralph.
Ralph, right.
Isn't that a grocery store?
Apparently, he's going to be released this month after 20 years.
Oh, fuck. Lock the doors, Gary.
Uh-oh.
He does mention that he's ready to, let's see here, auction off his virginity on the Adam Carolla Show if he's eligible.
Whoa.
He was in radio, I do believe.
Well, he goes on to explain that he's hosting a weekly sports TV show in prison with highlights of football, basketball, and soccer that goes out to the entire California Correctional Facilities cable network.
That's a fucking go-getter,
they
man.
They produce it on Final Cut 7 and...
Jesus.
He says it's legit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They have their own cable network?
In prison?
It's apparently.
Yeah, it's a network of guys holding mirrors outside of their outside of their cells, and they can bounce it from one cell all the
way
down the
hall. Let's go to Jerry in 4C.
There you go. Jerry got him on the set at mirror. There he is. Yeah.
Where do they get mirrors in prison? Aren't they made of glass? Like, isn't that a weapon? Couldn't you slash a guy's throat with your mirror?
Mirrors, prison's a weird place because when you show up to prison, they take everything away from you.
Yet,
and then at some point later on, you're doing coke and
heroin.
You have breast implants and you just got a new coat of carnauba wax put on your Duesenberg. Like, I don't know what's going on in prison.
Yeah, they keep getting stuff.
I'll tell you my theory about what goes on in prison.
Gift baskets?
The folks.
Gifting suite.
No.
Gifting cell.
The folks that are. In any society, the folks that are there to guard and arrest and take care of and keep control of the prisoners are always just half a lateral move from being a prisoner themselves. The people that are attracted,
nice.
They're really – are you agreeing with me?
Yeah, that was – that's funny. That's
no,
true.
No, there's
true.
Anyone who's in high school – who's attracted to law enforcement is also kind of attracted to crime and could easily go either way.
Yeah.
And so...
Because they're both, when you think about it, really antisocial endeavors. A cop, like, you're not relating to people in the way that an average human being does relate. You're relating in, like, a much more aggressive way, just like a criminal.
Right. Well, let's just picture... picture, like, a guy like... let's say, what's his name from Portlandia, let's say.
Fred Armisen.
The Green
Fred
River
Armisen.
Killer?
Okay. Yeah, Fred Armisen.
Okay.
Fred Armisen would not be a criminal,
mm-mm.
And he would definitely not be a cop.
Definitely not.
And I don't even know if you could argue which one he would be. Like, I'd go like...
Right, which one he would less
I think
be.
He would steal a bike before he would go out for the police academy. Like, but he would never even be close to either. He has no attraction.
He might have like a... He might not pay a parking ticket. But
right.
even that, I think he would.
So, I mean, like, if you're a human being some of us are wired. We have zero attraction to either one.
Yeah.
But then we all know the dudes who played a little football at the JC level who kind of could go either way. That's right. Why cops
they
have a lot
rape,
of...
They might kill a rapist.
Right. Cops Whoa. Have... I will guarantee that there's more domestic battery in the police amongst the rank and file police guys than there are of just take another profession. Just pick a random profession. Even the evil
architects.
Even they don't have as high a rate of domestic abuse as, let's say, cops do. So
Heisman Trophy winning football
players.
I mean,
players. If you set your drink down on their drafting table, maybe.
Yeah,
but
you're going to get beat with
circle,
a blueprint. They can
ice.
Roll those blueprints up and it becomes like a bat. If you roll it tight enough, that's a bat.
So the point is...
Okay, glaze over it. Thanks.
No.
No, you just glazed.
No,
you just glazed.
We only respond to hoots.
I made a point about rolling up a blueprint. You glazed over it like some guy shellacking a Christmas ham.
You call it a point, I say it's more of a sand dune.
Okay, you know what? May you poke yourself in the eyes right through your dirty, smelly burka.
Here's my point. I think the criminals, so now we have a place that is nothing but criminals, and then the other half of the guys could easily have been criminals, and then there's a handful of good guys like Chuck Norris. Because seeing the movies. And that's it. So as far as the cocaine getting in and guys getting bribed and all that, of course, we need Fred Armistead guarding these criminals. There would be none of this.
Fred Armisen. Right.
The other was named after a slave ship.
Armisen.
The people who would never want to be the guards would be the best at it.
That's the same people you'd want taking your kids camping.
That's it.
The people that didn't want to do it. All right. I'm sorry. What did the owl say? Did you watch the UFC fight? I've watched a UFC fight over at Harlan's house.
Oh, yeah. That's fun when you come over. We got to do another one of those.
I agree, because we end up roasting marshmallows and drinking beer at the end of the
night.
It's
like
over
you're
a
camping.
Fire pit.
You're camping at my place.
And then Adam comes back and it says that he understands why you're single.
Yeah.
Because you have such a great life with a house that looks over the hills.
I have a great life because I know you guys. That's what makes my life great.
I mean, yes, but he has a great life because he has somebody who's making hot wings and s'mores and bringing in microbrews, and we're watching the UFC, and it's like it's like we broke into someone's dad's house, except where you own the house.
Good. You got to come back. Now, I got to get your opinion on this, dudes. Mm-hmm. I went to a pet shop the other day, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, you ever been to the Petco?
Yes.
I go into this joint looking to see maybe some puppies prancing around or some kittens rolling around in newspaper shreds or something. Mm-hmm. I go in. They're selling rats, okay? Because I need a pet that helps spread the bubonic plague around and wipe out Europe.
Sure.
And then I went around the corner. There's a tank full of scorpions.
Scorpions.
And I'm thinking, what are you, childproof your house for 3 weeks and then buy Billy a black African scorpion with a poison dart growing out of his ass?
Yeah.
And then in another tank, they had snakes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You won't give Billy the Lego because it's a choking hazard, but let's buy Billy a 9-foot Burmese python, huh? What's going on, guy? You're a guy, by the way. What's going on, guy?
Yeah. I'll tell you the guy.
Why are you closing your eyes?
Most
of the show, your eyes have been closed. It's like.
You know why? I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the choking hazard and the Legos and stuff. And I always screamed that my kids, for toys, when there were two, my sister got them a whole big chub pack of fake food, like so they could pretend like they were at the grocery market, little plastic carrots, a little plastic hot dog, little plastic piece of watermelon, stuff like that. And then, of course, at age two, you'd see them with the plastic celery in their mouth and you'd slap it out of their hand and you go, no, no. And then 10 minutes later, you'd be sitting at the dinner table with them going, eat your carrots, eat your celery. And I thought, this is the fucking most retarded idea in the world.
Yeah.
Why is this? Who lets this stuff be sold? Why would you? What kind of message?
It is a mixed message.
It's a pretty fucking mixed message for a three-year-old, right?
But yet they'll eat the plastic toy, but they won't touch the real vegetables.
Well, I've beat the shit out of them for eating the plastic toy. Now they're scared.
Okay, child abuse is not acceptable, but if you want to do it legally, go to Petco and buy your kid a tarantula. Because nothing's worse than a spider with hair on it.
They don't, do they not have puppies?
They don't have puppies.
They should have tarantulas. Non-cuddly Petco.
Yeah, it should be just like, come in and kill your child, and the law won't really figure out how it happened. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to off your kid, take him on a friendly visit to a pet shop and buy a lethal pet.
I would never let my kid have a scorpion or tarantula because the greatest fear in my life is walking into the room, looking into the aquarium or terrarium and not seeing it in there.
Yeah.
Empty.
Yeah. And where is it in your scenario that you're painting in your head?
It's somewhere
in his butt.
It's in my butt. It's somewhere between my upper sheet and lower sheet. It's in it's like that part of the
pillowcase
where it's a little floppy at the end. Yeah,
it's in your burka, guy.
Do we need an aquarium and a terrarium? Can't we just do the no water math?
Whoa!
Yes,
I feel like I could.
Yeah,
I feel like if you took an aquarium and just filled it with sand, and an iguana, I would know what it was.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I need a terrarium and an aquarium.
So no one's going to say to you, the iguana's in the aquarium, and you're going to be like, oh, my God, get his drowning.
Right. I could figure, I'll do the heat lamp math on the aquarium and the terrarium. Or is there an actual difference?
Well, yes, there is. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the terrarium has heat, right? I'm like,
They're just tanks.
The terrarium has a cheaper glass because an aquarium needs glass that's pressurized because it's holding in a lot of water.
A lot of PSI.
Right. But terrarium glass is very flimsy. Like, you could smash your kid's face through it if you were angry. And
we've all heard the boxing axiom, that guy's a jaw like terrarium glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roy Jones Jr. just spit that out the other day.
Yeah.
Now we know where it comes from.
That guy's got a jaw like terrarium. I've heard that. Yeah.
You know what else you've heard of? DraftKings, baby. Fantasy football. Far from over. The playoffs just starting to heat up. People winning serious money at DraftKings.com. My listeners winning big money at DraftKings.com. Someone won $1 million a few weeks ago. Brian, how you hanging?
You know what I just realized? Just like this is the playoffs in the NFL, this is where the men separate from the boys in the fantasy because now there's only 8 teams left. Everyone can pick a lot of the same players. It takes a real good fantasy mind to, like, you know, find the sleepers out there.
DraftKings. You're going to watch the playoffs, have some fun, play with DraftKings. Win instant cash every week, every game, Dawson.
DraftKings is letting Adam Carolla listeners play for free to win real cash. Enter Adam at DraftKings.com for a quick free shot at your share of that $200 million pot. Hurry, this amazing offer expires this Friday. For details and your free entry, enter Adam now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
All right, shall we do some news, Allison Rosen?
I think so.
Let's do it.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison, Allison.
So I don't know if you've seen or heard about this yet, but Michael Bay was giving a presentation at CES.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Samsung press conference, and he was supposed to be promoting Samsung's new curved ultra-high-definition TVs.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of had a meltdown, and we have the video.
I like this curved TV.
How is everyone today? My job as a director is I get to dream for a living.
Uh-oh.
Michael, you know, you're known for such unbelievable action.
Samsung's guy.
What inspires you? How do you come up with these unbelievable ideas?
It's the teleprompter.
I create visual worlds that are so beyond everyone's normal life experiences. And Hollywood is a place that creates a viewer escape. And what I try to do is, as a director, I try to... the type is all off, sorry, but I'll just wing this.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah, we'll wing it right now. I try to take people on an emotional ride, and
not since Nealon spoke about the elephant have I seen this kind of uncomfortable public forum.
The curve. How does it? How do you think it's going to impact how viewers experience your movies?
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He just walked
Ladies
off.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's thank Michael Bay for joining us.
Yeah, it was wonderful, John.
Wow. That wasn't really a meltdown, though. Like, he didn't freak out and shoot himself. He just kind of gracefully swirled around and left.
In the middle of the thing that he was supposed to be there for a lot longer to present.
He's meticulous. Oh, this is a guy that works on $300 million budgets, and he needs everything, all his ducks in a line. When a teleprompter goes down, he's done.
That's why it's always best to have the idea of what you want to say. And I know they work that verbiage out. This is why all these award shows always suck, because the stilted you talk, and then I talk, and then you talk. It looks all right on the page when you do it in real life.
Hey,
it never...
Adam, I hear you did a movie called The Hammer this year.
Thanks, Brian. You know, I got hammered last night myself.
Whoa, too soon. Oh.
You know what they say. They always have that kind of verbiage in there. Anyway, so he wrote on his website later, "Wow, I just embarrassed myself at CES. I was about to speak for Samsung for this awesome curved 105-inch UHD TV. I rarely lend my name to any products, but this one is just stellar. I got so excited to talk that I skipped over the exec VP's intro line, and then the teleprompter got lost. Then the teleprompter went up and down, then I walked off. I guess live shows aren't my thing, but I'm doing a special curved screen experience with Samsung and Transformers 4 footage that will be traveling around the world." Michael.
Right. Now,
that's his agent saying, get the fuck on Twitter because you just reneged on the deal, basically.
Right. Samsung probably paid him $500,000 to do this, and he just...
Or more.
They're going to want to... Or more, and they're going to want to keep that money.
He's temperamental, that guy.
But... one could argue we're all talking about the half-screen, half-dome Samsung television set, in which case we wouldn't have been speaking about it if he hadn't flubbed this one up. So in a way, probably a good idea.
More mileage.
Now, see, when my reaction to this is to wonder, did he have misgivings about doing this whole sponsored thing to begin with? Or do you guys think it was really just nerves and without the teleprompter? Like, was that a hissy fit or was that just he got nervous?
Hissy fit.
I think Harland was right. Harland was right about like having
everything
in control.
I've worked with Michael Bay. He's anal. He needs everything to be where it is, or he has a temper. And if anything's out of line, you hear about it on his set at least. So that's what it looked like here. That somebody probably dingled up. Pay attention, Adam, talking.
No, I'm listening.
I saw your eyes glaze over, and you like you were dreaming about Corona commercial.
That's when he's concentrating.
I was thinking about that thing where you say to somebody, because I'm a little that way too. Like you say to somebody, like, "Hey, listen, don't talk on your cell phone because it's really distracting during the presentation." And then you go up on stage, and as you're doing your thing, you hear that person talking on their cell phone, and part of you is trying to keep going with your presentation, but there's a almost bigger part of you that's like, "I'm going to fucking kill that person," which is a voice that's almost louder than my head than whatever I'm doing. And I'm like, I just told them 7 minutes ago, don't talk on your fucking cell phone. And now I'm laser focused on them and their cell phone. I want to kill them.
Yeah.
And when you're one of those guys, and he may be that guy. I don't have enough juice.
Yeah, he's zoned in, man. He's zoned in.
But I don't know. Like, all right, so when somebody fucks up, he goes, "Fuck it, I'm leaving." And that, but the other thing is you could tell he walked out, got off his game, felt off balance, and instead of correcting his balance, like a vase on a potter's wheel, gets a little shimmy in it, and before you know it, it's against the wall.
So are you saying he left the stage and went back and made love to Patrick Swayze shirtless?
I'm saying you could see him. We can't clear that. Yeah. No, you say whatever.
How dare you?
I'm saying you could feel him go get a little out of balance and then.
Right, I think that's why I had that sense of maybe he had misgivings the entire time about it.
I think Harlan, as a professional comedian, as a seasoned comedian, as someone who was put on this planet to entertain on stage.
Senor, keep talking.
When you go out on stage, you put the mic in your hand, you start going into your bird sounds or whatever you do up there, and it's not all birds, some aquatic stuff, and some seabirds as well. to be fair.
See,
and
birds.
You get some heckler or somebody drops a tray of dishes or something and it pulls you out of it.
Yeah.
You deal with it. You get pulled off your thing or you get distracted or someone's cell phone goes off or whatever it is. And then you go right back to your shit because you have your sea legs.
Sea legs, senor.
That's right. You've spent countless hours on stage with a mic in your hand.
Yeah.
When you are my mom giving a speech at a wedding or even Michael Bay in front of 1,000 people in Vegas and you get knocked off your shit, I think you kind of get flustered and fucked up. You know the best man speech where they fuck up early?
Yep.
In the run, and then you see them sort of spin out with it a little bit.
You get one line out of order in the story, and next thing you know,
they get up in their head a little bit, and now a little flop sweat and a little handshake, and they start getting worse. You know, I feel like that's what he did.
But this guy works on such a high level. You got to remember whether you like his movies or not,
he directs
some of the most expensive, if not the most expensive movies in Hollywood. He's an AAA lister.
Mm-hmm.
He's up here on this cloud.
Right.
Like I said, I've worked with them. I shot a Nike commercial with them, and I was on set with them for 3 days, and he did not like it when one thing went out of order on him. He had the mentality, what the F are you doing? You're supposed to be doing your job, blah, blah, blah. So my impression of watching him here is like, the asshole with the teleprompter is not doing his job. I'm getting out of here.
But he
expects perfection. And
I agree.
That's not a bad thing.
I agree.
That's a good thing.
I agree, but you're wrong. Because he came out and he jumped his line. Like, he came out and started in Hollywood.
Yeah.
We're supposed to create and he jumped his...
Maybe it was a bit of both, so it
all
comes
right,
back
to
me to and
see
I'm
it
right.
Again.
Turns out I want to know
about the Nike commercial.
Oh, yeah?
What was that?
Well, maybe I'm not going to tell you.
Don't play coy with us. It was a
Nike commercial where... I played a guy on a bicycle, and I got my head smashed off, and my head started rolling around through the countryside, and some guys put it in a box, and I was like this glass.
Was Morgan Freeman in this?
No, he wasn't.
What year was this?
This was probably like, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Where did we see this? Did we see the commercial?
It was funny because Michael Bay was commissioned to do 5 Nike commercials. And this is when Nike was just peaking. Nike was still Nike, but now it was becoming Nike. And so Nike thought, well, we're so big, we'll hire Michael Bay for like $5, $6 million. We'll have him do these really expensive, elaborate commercials, in which I was in one of them. And because we're Nike and we're so good, we'll never even say the word Nike the whole commercial. We'll just show the check mark at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And people were watching these commercials going, what the hell is this? They never said Nike. No one ever uttered the word Nike. You never saw the word Nike. You just saw all these people running around in gym wear. And then at the end of this elaborate commercial, a check mark.
They call it a swoosh.
Yeah, a swoosh. And it was so pretentious that I think they yanked the commercials after like 1 week.
I want to see this Harlan Williams Nike commercial.
Look around on YouTube. I don't know if they're still there, but that's what happened.
Let's see.
Let's break down
the game film. He comes out on stage.
Let's just
see him jump the gun here.
If he had been wearing a burqa.
How is everyone today? My job as a director is I get to dream for a living.
See, that's a canned line.
No, Michael, back it up 1 second.
The other guy was starting
to talk.
You're known for your movies, or my job as a director is I get to dream for a living, but he jumped that guy's line.
Yep.
Look at that. He looks like Gumby right there, sliding on one foot.
That's right.
Thanks, Michael. How is everyone today? My job as a director is I get to dream for a living.
Michael. You know, you're known for such unbelievable action. What inspires you? How do you come up with these unbelievable ideas?
All right. So
That's when he was supposed to say, my job is a director.
Is a dream. Yeah. Whatever it was, he jumped.
Yeah.
Jumped it.
Yep.
And then he started to hyperventilate a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he went, I'm not used to public speaking. He went, fuck it. I think that's what happened. I still want to see the Harlan Williams commercial. His head cut off.
How dare you? Went in a box. Yeah, I'm in a glass box.
So did you think he was a dick at the time?
No, I actually enjoyed him. He was intense. Like here's how Michael worked, at least back then. He ordered people around. I mean, he was the man. He was in control, and he would push you to do crazy things, and I noticed no one on the set stood up to the guy. I was the only guy that stood. He wanted me to ride a bicycle into a tree branch and hit the tree branch with my head. Mm-hmm. And I said, Michael, there ain't no way, man. I'm not using my head.
I need a protective burka.
Yeah, and he was like, okay. But anyone that just kind of kowtowed to the guy, I don't think he respected them. At least he kind of would roll over them more. But if you stood up to the guy, he seemed to respect that you knew your boundaries. And I had a good time working with him. He was a lot of fun. But he's intense.
First off, I never blame those guys. There's no way to do what he does for a living when you have F-16s flying overhead and you got a bullhorn and you're yelling action and there's 300 extras and there's explosions. You have to have that mentality.
You do. You got to be super in control, man.
Yeah, it's really like saying, you know, Patton was kind of a douchebag. It's like he had a war to win.
Yeah,
He had to be a douchebag. He just it wasn't time.
It's like the conductor at Boston Pops, a guy running an orchestra.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to wave that stick around. His hair's got to be frizzed out like he just sucked on an electric eel. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's got to be in that place.
Whatever happened to electric eels? I feel like they were a pretty big part of my childhood.
They're in my underpants. Hello. Right now, guy.
I don't hear about them anymore.
There you go.
Is that it?
I was right out of my underpants. I just stuck the mic. You want to hear it again?
Wait, no, we have your commercial.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, we do.
Chicken wings, chicken wings.
It's a haunted bike store.
Yummy, yum. What are you staring at?
Whatever are you?
I was mountain biking. I'm the best mountain biker you've ever seen. I'm the best. On your right, on your right. Come on, move. Ripper, come on, crap. Take where'd you learn to ride? Get out of my way.
Wow, that is you.
I was winning a race, and all the other bikers got jealous, and they kicked me into a tree.
Get away, stupid.
Oh, head in the, your head blew off.
Pain, hit my head. Hey, little help here.
His head just got kicked down a ravine. Oh, landed
cactus.
Don't you make me come over the head.
I don't believe I'm talking to you, chubby. Anyway, son, my shoes won't let go of the bike. So my body's still riding around the world looking for a singing head. La, la,
la, la, la. It's a Nike Alpha shoe.
Hey, pull me down. I'll mess you up like a cheap wig.
Wow.
And then look. It just, they didn't mention Nike once.
They showed the shoe for half a second.
They showed the shoe, but the I mean, look at how crazy and busy that command. And you're like, there's so much going on.
Man, that
and
took
then
a lot
end,
to make that.
Just the swoosh. Yeah. I know, it was a huge production.
Yeah.
But you see, that was the tree. You see where my head hit the tree?
I did see that.
So we did that where I was this far from it and just like kind of put my head on it. And he fudged it so it looked like. But he wanted me to drive.
I don't know gay slang.
He wanted me to ride the bike right into that branch, like at speed, with my and hit it with my face.
I heard him talking to his lawyer. This is why we went with a no name, right? I thought this is why we went with a no name.
How dare you,
what
sir?
What do you mean? No one's. Come on.
The real reason I won't hit the tree is because there was an owl in it.
I love you, but that commercial makes me angry. Because what the fuck was that?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but I'm agreeing with you.
That's what I said. And they did five of them, and they were all just as crazy as that. You don't know what the product is.
It looked like an incredibly expensive commercial.
They were. And then his fee alone, I heard, was $5 million, and this was pre-Transformers. So
right.
This was 1999. It was their Alpha Project campaign, and that was Gary Payton as the sort of mastermind. He was in an oddities shop, and there were a series of commercials that originated from the shop.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a big campaign. It was like hundreds of millions of dollars.
It feels like a parody.
Yeah.
But it didn't run long enough for any of us to remember it. That's the kind of commercial you'd remember.
I don't remember anything about that.
And, you know, I watch a lot of sports, I imagine. Well, anyway. Next story.
Wow. It's a long story.
Yeah.
We didn't have a chance to talk about the fact that Phil Everly of the Everly Brothers died.
Bye, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Oh. He's the youngest Everly brother. Ooh. He died of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and he was 74. And did you know that Billy Joe Armstrong and Nora Jones recorded a tribute to the Everlys? This is before he died. It's an album of covers called Songs Our Daddy Taught Us. I want to check that out.
I wouldn't mind doing that myself. Everly Brothers had a lot of great hits.
And did you know this? I didn't know this either, that the Everly Brothers breakup came dramatically during a concert at Knott's Berry Farm. Phil threw his guitar down and walked off, and then Don Everly told the crowd the Everly Brothers died 10 years ago.
Wow.
How is that not all over the internet?
Dramatic. I mean,
so that was the first hologram concert ever then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were 10
they
years
were
dead.
They were 10 years. I wonder what year that was.
I know. It doesn't say what year.
You know the sad part about the, well, all professions, all showbiz, I mean, stand-ups and being a musician is you have to, it's understood, but you have to play these county fairs and Knott's Berry Farm, and it's still better than driving a truck, but it's like...
Is it?
Well, the only thing that's bad about it is you used to play big theaters, you know, like... when I was two words of wisdom from the great Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, when I was hanging out with him over at Kimmel's a couple of years ago, first was he just had a kid, and he said to me quietly, so his wife couldn't hear, since when did paying for everything count for nothing? And I went, I don't know why we've crafted this society where the guy pays for everything. We work your way up to a zero for paying for everything. That just gets you to a fucking zero in our society. But that's kind of where we're at, whether it's the taxpayers or whether it's the dad. Paying for the house, the car, and everything else will work your way up to a zero at home. That's where we're at. I don't think it's a good thing, but that's where we're at. And the next thing I said was, so what's going on with Sugar Ray? Where are you guys playing? And he said, where are we playing? Well, if you smell funnel cake, we're there.
Wow.
And I said, oh, playing the country fair.
Wow.
Yeah. And Sugar Ray's used to playing, you know, Irvine Meadows and getting tons of chicks and doing the whole nine yards. And it just is what it is. It's not this band is not good anymore. It's just the nature of the beast. If you're Sugar
kind
Ray.
Of like the road hard. Of rock musicians.
Yes, whoever you are, you just have to. I mean, there's the occasional U2s of the world and the Bruce Springsteens and the Led Zeppelins and stuff, but few and far between. The rest are just a bunch of bands that either are out altogether or have to play the humbling kinds of places. You know, the Everly Brothers were probably... top five in 1955 or wherever the hell it was. And at a certain point in their career, they ended up at Knott's Berry Farm and Spillikin Corners competing with, you know, some guys who rode BMX bikes at a half pipe or something that were behind them.
But the good thing is they are musicians that leave a legacy behind. See, there's bands, and I love Sugar Ray, but I don't know if music history will look back and go, Sugar Ray was instrumental in shaping modern mm-hmm. music, whereas the Everly Brothers...
I also just wanted to fly.
Yes.
Yeah. The Everly Brothers will leave a legacy of, you know, they helped craft and influence modern rock and roll and modern music. So...
Yeah, they had... Give us their hits. They had Kathy's Clown. Had Bye Bye Love. They had Wake Up, Susan.
My Milkshake Brings the Boys to the Yard. They did that. My Milkshake.
Hello, they did this. Better bits. Bye-bye, my clinch. Goodbye. He had a baby. He nurses every day. No more breastfeeding. He's got to get away. If you're wondering where will he go, he'll be lactating on the East Coast. But hello, better bits. Bye-bye, my clinch. Goodbye. Bye-bye, man tits. Goodbye.
Nice.
So brutal. He's lost about 40 pounds, by the way. Oh. Yeah, Crying in the Rain's a great song. All I have to do is dream. Yeah, Bye-bye, Lynch. Yeah, Let It Be Me is a great song. Kathy's Clown. Here she comes.
Wake up, little
here
Susie. Is it on there?
It's Kathy's Clown.
There
oh, yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh, Sheila. Was that theirs?
Oh. Sheila.
She, what?
I think that was Prince. Hey, man.
How dare you, sir? How dare you and your closed burka eyes.
Not the point of this story, but I feel like Knott's Berry Farm used to be a much bigger part of my life than it has been in the last many, many, many years. You guys
agreed.
Too?
And sad that my kids would rather go to Legoland, which is further away.
Buy them a python.
Or a scorpion. All right. And put them in a nice thin-walled terrarium.
Burka eyes.
Now, I understand stalactite and stalagmite.
Oh, yeah.
Those we need because they're the opposite of each other.
Like convex and concave.
Aqua is water and terra firma is earth. So that's why it's terrarium and aquarium.
La-dee-da. Let's bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunts.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
This was worth it just to see that commercial.
Really? I feel a bit weird about it because I haven't seen that since they did it. It was weird watching that. I looked like a little kid, and I'll be honest, I don't know that I really liked my performance.
I thought it
you
was good.
You were great.
I feel a bit weird about it.
No, very good. I love when you called them crab cakes or whatever you call
did
them.
Did you have to audition?
I did. It was one of those things they auditioned like everyone in town, and Michael Bay was at the audition, and I got the call that my agent was like, they've seen everyone, they can't find the guy. They want to see you, or they're not. There's something like they're not going to do it if they can't find. So I went rushing down there as a last minute guy, and I walked in the room and just went off. And Michael loved me and put me in the commercial, and it was fun, man. It was like shooting a little movie, as you can see, is a pretty intense commercial.
Yeah. And you know, that stuff is multiple days, right?
Well, I was out there like 3 days. We were up in the hills, and I'll tell you what, Bay did get me to ride a mountain bike down like this really steep hill.
Sure.
And I said, it ain't. He goes, when you get about halfway down, slam on the brakes. And I'm like, no, Mike. He talked me into doing that. I went down the hill, hit the brakes, flew right over the handlebars, went right over, landed on my back in the bushes.
Well, he doesn't know you're from Canadian royalty. Like,
how dare you, jellyfish lips?
Well, he doesn't know about your dad being in district selectman or whatever the hell he was
May your eye crust clog up your burka, sir.
Your dad was a heavy hitter.
Why
over
do you
there
want to
Manitoba,
try to
just
go from a Nike commercial to my dad?
I just like that your dad was your Canadian gentry.
My dad
sounds
was
like
the Solicitor General.
I love that. It's a Danny Kaye character.
If we ever make a movie, will you play my dad?
Yes. He was
you be the Solicitor General?
I can be the Solicitor General.
Oh, God bless you.
I feel like that comes with a sash, right?
A sash?
Yeah.
Like a Russian hooker?
I'm saying it's a sash job. He
what
was
is
Solicitor
a sash?
General.
What is a sash? What are you saying?
What's a Solicitor General? Then we'll tell you what
a sash is. It's like the Attorney General here.
Uh-huh. I like that. Did he have a powdered wig? Did he have a fake wig and a
How
robe and stuff?
How dare you, sir. He did dress up like Powder from the movies. Remember the bald white kid who could bend forks with his mind? He did that. Madam Speaker, I will bend your teacup if you... What? There goes my electric eel in my pants.
All right, you give me the electric eagle. Eel.
Eel.
What would an electric eagle sound like? Go to meeting. Start your New Year's off right. Work smarter with GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. You can get clients together. You can work from miles apart. You could have your partner on a mountain bike on some hill somewhere in the desert. All right. Increase productivity. Improve communication. Cut time and wasted money. Nobody likes to waste money. And your business travel as well. GoToMeeting. You can do it from your computer, your mobile device. Launch your first meeting in seconds. Share the screen. Collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, projects. Do it in real time. Turn your webcam and see the other person you're talking to or the multiple people you're talking to, and you can try it free. See?
See.
That's right. 30 days free. See?
See my electric eel.
No credit card required. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and use the promo code Adam. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. All right. Harlan Williams can be found back in the day, name of the movie. Available now on video on demand and in theaters January 17th. Shit, we forgot to get into that. What's that about?
It's like one of these high school reunion movies. All the characters, Michael Rosenbaum, Nick Swartzen, Moreno Baccarin. We all go, Sarah Colonna. We all go back to our high school reunion. And we kind of pick up where we left off when we were all 18. As adults, we start all the same hijinks. It's a really, really fun, touching, but really funny comedic movie.
And again, in theaters January 17th, but you can get it now on
video. On demand. Absolutely, at iTunes and all that good stuff.
The Harlan Highway. New episodes every Monday and Thursday on iTunes. And I'll tell you what. Go to harlanwilliams.com if you want to find out any dates where Harlan's going to be doing stand-up, coming to a city
near this weekend in Irvine.
There
Irvine,
you go.
California, at the Improv.
Great venue.
Thanks.
And Mangria, back in stock. And you can go to corolladrinks.com and click on the shop button and find it where it's available near you. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for David Wild, Harlan Williams, Allison Rosen, and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Busted in the pussy wussy.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Cut a live podcast this Saturday in Long Beach at the Gas Lamp. Two at the West at the Park West in Chicago January 31st. And one at the University of Buffalo on February 1st. Plus Adam's solo stand-up show in Detroit at the Motor City Casino on January 30th. Tickets and info on all live podcasts, stand-up Mangria events, and more. Visit AdamCarolla.com.